God's grace, mercy, and peace be with us this morning as we hear his word. First of all, it's good to be back in worship with you today. As some of you who follow me on Facebook know, Men in Black had a very successful competition this last week in Wales. After almost a year of preparation, rehearsals, memorizing all our music, the festival itself was a marvelous event. Just a little interesting note, the International Eisteddfod Festival was begun 70 years ago, and it was done as a response to try to enhance some reconciliation after World War II. And this little village in Wales puts on this huge international festival. There are choirs and dancers and instruments from all over the world, and they come in their native costumes. And the idea is that bringing people of the world together through music and the acceptance and the joy and the camaraderie that exists there during the week. And so it's a celebration that began very small but's continued to this time. The choirs gather for the love of music, and wherever you walk on the grounds, every corner of the grounds is filled with music, either choirs giving impromptu concerts or rehearsing or whatever. It's a marvelous experience. So you should not then be surprised this morning that music has been filling my mind as I got back and as I was preparing for my sermon. Obviously, there was a song that came to mind. Considering the text and the message, there's an old song that begins, "Lord, let my heart be good soil." It's written by a man named Hans Hansen. It's a beautiful piece that suggests a deep sense of longing for something important. The melody and the tone all work together perfectly as an interpretation of the gospel reading for today. And while it's tempting this morning to want to move immediately to what a story like the parable of the sower means, that reaction is often an attempt to distance oneself from what the personal impact of this story is about. You know, it's safer if we can just sort of intellectualize this story and conveniently sort of rationalize it away, and we already know which soil we are, and so then we don't have to deal with maybe some of the emotions or things that are stirred up by the message. For example, we all know that a love letter is not meant to be analyzed. Nothing can kill off a declaration of love faster than trying to overanalyze the love note. No, a love letter just simply calls for a response on the part of the loved one. If you start arguing about the syntax and all, you're not going anywhere, right? So in a similar way, the song, "Lord, Let My Heart Be Good Soil," reminds us that the proper reaction to Jesus' parables is not analysis, but it's a response of commitment to and a longing for God's presence and power in our lives, so that we not only can experience the love of God in our world, but also in our daily walk with the Lord. And it's that love then for which we long that is the source of our sense of belonging and feeling at home with God and knowing that we always have a place in God's heart. You know, after living in any community for a length of time and learning some of the history of the place, you eventually discover the secret of truly belonging in that place and what it is. I remember once having a conversation with one of my seminary colleagues. And his first call was to this small town in Ohio. And bucking all odds, because the average length of stay at your first parish is about 3 years, he stayed there for his entire ministry. And so we were talking, and I was visiting one day, and he was telling me a story of what ministry was like in a small rural community. He said it had taken him quite a while to discover the secret of how to truly belong to his congregation, how he finally was able to feel at home with the people in the community. And the secret was this. It was either you or a family member had to have worked for some time for one particular corporation in the town, or you needed to work for the family-owned greenhouse. So when his children began working at the greenhouse, whose owners happened to be a member of his congregation, they knew that they had finally arrived and had really become a part of the community. See, at the greenhouse, his children assisted the owners with the strenuous and delicate work of tending thousands of plants and trees and helping them to grow and develop to their full potential so that those plants and trees could provide beauty and shade and fruit for others. Well, what we get to do as fellow members of the body of Christ, the church, the community of which we are a part, is very similar to that. Now, while we know that God is the sower and God sows the seed, and it's God's grace and providence that gives the growth, we've also been given an important role, the role of being God's co-workers, being his, if you will, gardener's assistants, helping one another and helping others to grow in faith and in discipleship. So our response to our theme song, our prayer today, really is that, Lord, then let my heart be good soil. That should be our prayer, our desire, our hope. It's the hope for all who have been baptized into God's kingdom and God's grace and love. I mean, that's what we do. As part of our ministry, we pray for the heart of each child or adult that's brought to the font and is baptized and is given, in a sense, good soil through the promises of God planted each one. And we pray that then that work of God that was begun at baptism would bear fruit through that person's life and into eternity. That's our prayer for all our children, for our youth, for every face we see here this morning, as well as those who should be here but aren't for whatever reason. But we know that if we pray that others' hearts would be good soil, then we are asking God to begin with us and to show us the way to help make this happen. We have a role in preparing the soil of every person brought to the waters of baptism as parents, as sponsors, as witnesses, all of our brothers and sisters keepers, concerned for them, for their growth, for their chance to follow the Lord Jesus in the ways of God's kingdom. But the prayer of longing is also for us personally. Lord, let my heart be good soil. So we pray that God would work in the soil of our hearts. You know, Martin Luther, 500 years ago, and some of the other reformers discovered the wisdom of that. Luther said, becoming a Christian is not a one-time event, but it's a life of daily conversion, growth, nurture, care, vigilance. The discipline of faith are the practices like prayer and study and worship and witness and encouragement and serving and giving. These are the practices by which God's Spirit works the soil in our hearts and in our lives. You see, our hearts and lives need to be worked because of our sinful nature. You know, that old Adam and Eve that is still in us. Though we talk about how that is the ground in baptism, it somehow keeps floating back to up to the surface. And it has to be drowned again through daily repentance, as Luther said. You know, in the language of today's gospel reading, the old Adam and Eve are like the weeds that keep coming up in our life. They have to be plucked out. They have to be dug up. They have to be thrown away. And the more you keep at this spiritual weeding, the easier it becomes. But if you let it go too long, we know, like any garden, the weeds of sin can take over. And just like a neglected garden, it can be overwhelming and depressing and just too much to handle to try to clean it out. That's why the faith practices of daily prayer and study and worship and witness and encouragement and serving and giving, all of those things come into play. You know, God's Spirit working through those kinds of faith practices makes it possible for us to put everything together, to receive, to understand, to respond to the seed of God's good news planted in our hearts. And just like a flower turning toward the sun, or leaves that reach up and out seeking and soaking up the rain, prayer and praise open us up to God's agenda, God's blessings. And through prayer and praise, we're able to turn away from the cares and worries and priorities of self and the world. And we can turn back to God's ways and the kingdom of God for us each day. When we dig into God's word, it breaks that hard soil of our hearts. And then the power of forgiveness removes the rocks of anger and jealousy and prejudice and fear that often lie below the surface in our lives, making it difficult for God's love to take root and to bear fruit. You see, a plant that does not bear fruit has no future. In the same way, the faith that we have must be shared. It must be passed on. That's our purpose. To bear fruit for God by witnessing or testifying to what God has done for us in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the witness then will show itself, not just in words of criticism or judgment or anger or fear, but in words of challenging encouragement, of loving acts and sacrificial acts of serving and giving. You see, Jesus' parable of the seeds is a gracious invitation from God to grow into all that God wants us to be. We don't have to overanalyze the invitation. The proper response is one of active commitment and longing for the reign of the love of God in our world and in our lives. And the reason we don't have to overanalyze is because, interestingly enough, this is the only parable to which Jesus offered an explanation or interpreted to his disciples. And God simply promises to do that for us. His word does not go out empty, as we read in the Old Testament lesson this morning. It accomplishes God's purposes. It exceeds for that which God sent it. And so the seed falls on good soil, prepared by our doing the faith practices that will produce amazing results in the lives of God's people. And so the word that we've read this morning and that you're hearing preached is like a seed. It has miraculous power within it. And that power is the Spirit of God. And if you give it the right soil in your heart, then it begins as if by magic to send out roots and begin to leaf and to flower and to bear fruit. And that will mean a very noticeable and practical change in your life. It will change your relationship to yourself. It'll change your relationship to one another. It'll change your relationship to your neighbor and to God. Because just as he promised in the Old Testament lesson today, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that which I purpose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And so, Lord, let my heart be good soil. That's my prayer for you today, and I ask that be your prayer for me as well. Let's make that, in fact, our daily prayer as we start this morning to pray for our young ones. Let their hearts, Lord, be good soil. Let's rejoice at what God will do in their hearts and in ours, in their lives and in ours, because the power of God is at work within us to establish, as St. Paul says, far more than we could ever ask or imagine. For we know that the one who has called us is faithful, and he will do these things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.